history class. Today is Thursday, October the 10th, 1985, and I am Rosemary Vitato. I am talking to Ray Croom, owner and operator of Big Oak Farm on Poplar Flat Road in Barstown, Kentucky. Hello, Ray. The first thing I'd like to ask you is when you were born?
1940.
And where were you born? Where was your place of birth?
Right here.
Right here on the Big Oak Farm, okay. So that makes you, let's see, 45 this year, okay. What first made you interested in getting into farming?
I really don't know, just got born to do.
Okay, and who owned this farm before you bought it, you purchased it?
My father did, just a thing.
Okay, and how long did he farm this land?
About 47 years.
Okay, and do you know who owned it before he bought it?
It was in the family. It belonged to a fellow named Brown that married my great aunt, Kate Croom.
Okay.
So that was back even before 1900.
So your roots are pretty deep there then.
Right.
Okay. How many acres are here on this farm?
About 22.
Okay, and what's your main activity that you do here on the farm? Your main source of income?
Dairy and tobacco crop.
Okay, and how many dairy cattle do you have?
I usually keep around 20 altogether.
Okay, and you say a tobacco crop too.
Yeah.
Okay, how many acres of tobacco do you have?
It's on poundage now. We got here about 1,600.
Okay. Has this always been a dairy farm?
No.
Okay.
Last one, well, it always sold cream, you know, over a number of years, but been selling milk off it for the last 21 years.
Okay. Now, the operation that you have here now, like the cows and things that you milk out there, do you milk them by hand or do you have a...
No, I use an electric milker.
Electric milkers. Okay. And do you milk 22 cattle? Is that how many you said?
That's cows and heifers. You milk different ones. You got, not all of them are, you know, fresh at the same time. You got some that's dried and some that become with calves and some that you're milking, so you're always in the process having some in there at all times, but you know, different times.
Okay. So how much milk do you get out of this per week, would you think, on the average?
Oh boy, that varies depending on how many you're in there. It'd be hard to say off the top of my head because,
well,
I would say, you see, per week, between 2,100 and 3,000 pounds on an average, yearly average.
Yearly average, okay. What do you think, now you didn't always, now that you're milking now and it's all electrical and all these modern conveniences now, you didn't always have that, did you?
No.
Okay,
no.
What's the difference in when you first started out as compared to now? When you first started out there, what was it like then? Did you go out there and milk them by hand then, or?
Well, before when I shipped some cream for a while, but ever since I've been shipping milk, I've always had the milker. Of course, when I started, you was allowed to ship in cans, but now that's all over with. You have to have a bulk tank now, and so you really come right out of the milker in the tank, your hands don't even touch it.
And you never have done it that way? I mean, you never have milked by hand? And,
yeah,
and
I did.
You did to begin?
Cream when I had to begin with.
Oh, okay.
And then, I guess 3 or 4 years doing that, and then starting to ship the milk and then put in the milk.
Okay, your father was Justin Croom, and did you have him here on the farm?
Yeah.
So virtually this is all that you've done all your life then?
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
I did work. I had worked as a steward one time for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What did you what did he do back then, too? I mean, did he have this larger operation, or was it smaller?
Well, back then it was smaller because everybody was more or less shipped cream. And they, you know, 5 or 6 cows or something like that. If you had 10 or 15 or 20 back then, it was considered a pretty big operation. That's, you know, way back.
Yeah. Okay. Now, do you have any help here on the farm? Do you do all this by yourself? Does your wife help you with this?
Yeah.
She helps actually in the dairy process or in the tobacco?
She helps more or less in the tobacco, but sometimes she helps have stubborn calf, where she'll take it, get it to eat or things of that nature.
And how do you get? Okay, Ray, how many children do you have?
One son.
Okay, and what's his age?
He's 20 years old.
Okay, does he help out here in the farm too?
When he's not in college, during the summer, the time he's off in college.
Okay, what is his role here on the farm when he is here?
Well, he helps in the barn, in the field.
Okay.
Whatever needs to be done.
Okay, now, do you suppose that he's going to want to farm, take
no,
over this operation?
No.
So you think the buck's going to stop here?
Huh? Pretty quick,
yeah. What do you, what improvements have you made in feeding and health practices since, you know, from the beginning, you know, of the feeding of the cows? What I'm trying to say is, what are the differences that you can see in feeding your cows and that kind of thing when you first started as opposed to now?
Well, you've got the protein level has to stay up there if you're going to have the kind of test on the milk, and then you have the problems of getting the calves if you don't have it up there. And you, in order to get milk, you've got to have the kind of feed that it produces. That means the kind of quality hay and grain and so forth that you can mix for them, and you can't. You've got to have the supplement there. They're not going to do any more for you than you do for them. So if you cut the corner, you're just cutting your own throat.
Well, now, is that expensive? I mean,
well, it can be. You just kind of have to use your own judgment and know about how you can spend, because have something left for yourself. Of course, it'd be very easy to go buy anything that you thought would do the job. But the difference is, whether there's going to be anything left for you after you make all that expense. There's a different way to go about getting it. In order to stay in business, you try to get to produce the milk, and it's the cheapest way you can. But still, you've got to invest so much in order to get the milk.
Which do you think then is the most profitable, being in the dairy business or the tobacco business?
Well, the dairy, you've got to check every 2 weeks, and the tobacco, you have the one lump sum at the end of the year. So you've got to have a salary every 2 weeks nowadays. So I think that to really make it, you need them both. So if one doesn't pick up, the other does, more or less how it works out for me.
Do you think it's possible for the small farmer to compete successfully against the larger ones in the cattle industry?
I think it can, because it's not as much overhead there and the expenses and so forth there. And it just seems like you can give what you've got more attention, and that's what makes it successful. You can get too big as well as too little. Which I was told a number of times I was too little to stay in, but so far I've stayed in.
Okay, who told you that? Who were the people that made those kind of remarks?
Well, there were some that had the bigger ideals. I won't say who they are, but anyhow, they're...
Well, what business are they in, though?
They were in the dairy business, but one stayed 6 and the other one 10 years, and so after that, well, they... went under from some cause, and now they're no longer good.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna go back to when your father was here. What, I can't remember whether I've repeated myself here or not, but what differences, I mean, what, I'm trying to figure out what made you really want to go into farming. I mean, what did you, can you remember, how old were you when you really started taking an active part in the farm here when your parents lived here?
About 12, I guess.
And what did you do then?
I helped in the field and helped take care of the stock and whatever was to do around here.
And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
Got four brothers and two sisters.
And did they help out?
Yeah.
Everybody had to pitch in. What about your mother?
She more or less took care of the chickens in the garden and things like that. And pretty much kept her off from running the house and taking care of that besides, pretty much a full-time job for her.
Yeah, so it took everybody kind of pulling together then to make the whole thing work.
Yeah.
Can you ever remember, like, back then, it being a any struggling times?
You'd have droughts and you'd have crops that didn't bring what you'd hoping it was, and sometimes you'd have a, it always depends on how good a Christmas you're going to have, how well tobacco sold, and how much you was could expect to get for Christmas. Some years, of course, was better than others, and some years wasn't too good, but it just goes along with it.
Do you think that in that manner that it's comparative to today, you know, as far as the same things that can happen?
Yeah, it's just, you can handle more dollars as far as that's concerned, but you don't just take more dollars now to do the job than you used to back then. It's the biggest thing. Everything costs more.
Well, is there any one particular thing then, back when you were helping your father farm, that stands out in your mind, whether it be a good thing that happened or a bad thing that might have happened pertaining to this, to farming? That really, you know, and if not back then, maybe, you know, something you might relate, like something good that might have happened, or maybe a big catastrophe that happened. You know, a lot of people, I think, for instance, the Depression, you know, a lot of people relate to that, you know, of it having such an impact, or maybe a large storm that wiped out everything, or, you know, a dry summer that was particularly, you know, worse.
Well, there's a number of things. One year it was stayed about 104, and we'd go to field about 6 and quit at 11, and go back about 2 when the sun wasn't quite as hot, and work them into 6 or 7 at night. And those times you'd think it was never going to rain, everything was going to burn up, but you'd come out finally. And I don't know, just a number of things that happens with more of the years that you...
Do you think, now, are you talking about now, or is that
back then?
Has there been anything... excuse me, in particular that, say within the last 2 years, that has been a major upset for you?
Well, in 83, we had a drought, the worst one I can remember. And I didn't think I was going to make it through that, but it worked out. Things, you just manage around it and do without a little bit longer.
Okay, so that brings me to this question. Why does the farmer want to stay in this business then? Why do you want to stay
sometimes
in
something? Sometimes you ask yourself that. But then sometimes things go like you want them to. And sometimes you wonder if you're just fooling yourself. And then sometimes it pays off. And it just all depends on what you expect. If just small rewards, it's most of what you're going to get. It's the ideal of being able to grow something from start to finish and seeing what you got when you sell it, or just idea of raising stock and things of that nature. If you really want to do it, well, you'll find a way to do it.
So that's what really gives you a lot of satisfaction. You were saying, you know, like if you have a good year in tobacco or whatever, what really it makes you more proud or is your...
Well, at the end of the year when you've got enough feed on hand and your milk's up there where you want it to be, which it takes some doing to get that done, and you've got your tobacco sold and got the kind of price you wanted for it, and you was able to make it that year and come out and not be clear of everybody, not be on anything.
Okay. Okay, now I want to go back to your ancestors again. And you were telling me that your father owned this land. Where do you know where your descendants are from?
We're supposedly Welsh, so I guess it's some English descent.
Great
Britain, I guess.
Okay. Now, how did you purchase this land? Did you buy it directly from your father, or
no,
did...
No, it was another deal that's rather involved.
So oh, okay. Okay. When you do your farming around here, or even back when you were younger and you farmed, you said that when you were growing up you had six brothers and sisters, and now you only have one son here. I feel sure that just the three of you cannot farm this by yourself, so how do you do that? Do you hire people to come in, like at your busy time? Or?
Yeah, just then, you know, when putting up hay or tobacco, then you have to hire extra help, because you can't hang it by yourself.
Do you go do you just strictly work on this farm, or do you help, do you all, do close farmers help each other around?
Sometimes. And of course, I've got the crop rented on two other places, too. More or less, sometimes you just work it out where you help each other. That's, sometimes works out if everybody is not busy at the same time and is able to work like that, and sometimes you just have to go hard on somebody else to help you, because when everybody's busy where they came to make arrangements to be there to help you, or you can't help them.
Okay. You said that your wife, Jean, has a role in the farm around here. Do you all have a garden?
Yes.
Okay. And is that where most of your food comes from? Of it? And so you'd say that that's where a lot of it comes from.
Right.
Okay. Do you all share this with anyone, or do you find that your neighbors or whatever, do you do that kind of, I kind of call it a bartering thing, where if you do something for them, instead of them paying you, they do something back in return for you?
Usually, sometimes it works like that, you know, you can swap work, things like that sometimes. Then sometimes you just, you hire so many air may need whatever job you're doing, just putting in hay or tobacco.
Okay, I guess in conclusion then, this all sounds like a lot of hard work to me, and my conclusion question then would be, would you advise anyone in this day and age to go into farming?
Well, as I've said before, they better want to, because it's pretty hard sometimes, right smart of a struggle. So you better have your mind made up you want to, and that you're going to have to accept things like they are, whether you like it or not. Your pride can't get in the way of it, because you're going to have to do a lot of things you don't want to do. But if you stay in, you'll have to do it.
That brings me to the question of the government. Do you think the government really has that much, after watching that program on TV, Farm Aid, it seems like to me that the government has a big control over farmers. And right now they seem to be struggling. You see all these farmers that have lost their farms, or they're having to put them up for auction, and they're so far into debt. Do you know of anyone personally that is in that kind of, facing that kind of situation?
I know four or five. Of course, you know, it's, the government's to blame to a certain extent, because at one time the different programs and things they had kind of enticed you to get bigger and bigger, and overinvest in machinery and things, and prices were pretty good then, and you could, value of your land was up there pretty good, $1,500 an acre, I would say, on average. And now, let's turn it around, soybeans was $8 a few years ago, now they're $5, and corn was $3 or better, now it's $2, maybe $2.25, and it's, some of them just got caught. They went in when things was booming and the bottom fell out, and it's not really their own fault. And some of them just overinvested and just got too big too quick. So there's just no one certain thing that the reason they are in trouble. Of course, the government just doesn't seem to be 6 months behind everybody else as far as knowing what's going on. But that's the way it is, I guess.
Do you know of anything that could, that maybe just a person that isn't a farmer that could, you know, maybe help out, that would help this situation out, you know, as far as with writing a congressman or something like that? Because it seems like, I don't know, it seems like to me it's an awful much of a struggle, you know, anymore. That's going back to me asking you if anyone's ever, would you advise anyone to get into this business? Now, I can't imagine, you know, I can't see what the profit will be, but if we don't continue this farming, you know, it seems like to me the person that isn't a farmer is going to be hurting for something to eat, and not counting all these other things that a farmer produces.
That's true,
for
too, but the biggest thing is the imports have took over so much of the market, tobacco and grain and things of that nature. We just don't have the overseas markets we used to have. I don't think that, as a government, they don't seem to have took care of the trading policy as good as they could have. And the common market is more or less has monopolized this country. We don't seem to have a say as whether we can trade or not. It's just the idea of the other members just tell this country what we can sell and so forth and how we can go about it. So I think that's the biggest problem, is just the markets are not there to worry. That which takes away from income for everybody.
Okay. I guess in conclusion then, maybe the last question I'd like to ask you is, as opposed to when you first went into it on your own, and now, do you think it was everything you thought it was going to be, getting into being a farmer?
Well, it's a lot harder, and it's, you have to think a whole lot, and try to be as sure as you can of what you're going to do or how you're going to manage this or that, because you can make just one mistake and it just seems to throw everything out. There's no trouble to get yourself in the bind, or to get it out, get yourself out of it. So it's as much using your head as much as anything else. All in the management for the most part, knowing what to do and how to do and how much you can invest, and try to stay on schedule with the seasons, you hope, and get the crop out and get it in, and the whole, whatever you're involved with.
So you said you had one son, so would you if he really wanted to go into farming, what advice would you give him?
Well, probably a good idea if he didn't, the way things are nowadays.
Okay, Ray. I appreciate your time for this interview. Thank you. Mm-hmm.